Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for this great day you've blessed us with. We praise you. We magnify you. You are awesome, God. And we thank you, God, for your presence. Bless this segment. Bless those who listen, that they be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen and praise God. Amen and praise God. We want to go straight to our scripture so we can get to our interview on today. And Acts 17 is our scripture, our favorite, that says to us in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. We are the offspring of God, and we give him praise. Amen. Thank you for joining us on today. We want to go straight into our interview. You're going to be blessed. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. We have a special treat. We have an interview with my sister, our sister, Kayla Starks. And I'm still going to just start off by just telling a little bit about herself and just share, you know, just something that she wants to just to start us off with. Sister Kayla?
Hey, how are you?
Good, you?
Doing well.
Good. Yeah, so just you want to share something about, you know, your music, how you got started in music, or give us a testimonial about that?
Okay. I first got my start in music. All of my family is very, like, musically inclined. So I was surrounded by music my whole life. My mom and my dad were always elders at each church that we went to, so I played the drums for the choir. And so sometimes I would find myself, you know, trying to do what the choir is doing, and eventually, you know, kind of perfected that and gave it a try. So I didn't show my family until I was 12 that I could sing. They always knew I could rap, but I didn't show them that I could sing. So, I started off music playing drums in a church. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And so then it sounds like that, you know, you, with growing up with a family like that and being music that gift God, you know, placed within your family, just kind of, it can't help but just kind of grow in you as well and develop and you know, that get that training. And so you're saying that you started off playing the drums, then you had singing and then the rap. How did that transition, how did you transition to doing, because I know most people may know you by your rap, you know, on other people's music or doing your own. How did you transition?
Transition from?
Yeah, just from like in doing your, like drums and then to doing just rap.
Started playing drums, and really my heart, I feel like God's desire for my life was really to play sports, because like everything that I tried, I was great at, and so I was playing basketball and softball and soccer and all that, and one day, my mom, she's kind of looking at me, and she's like, I want to take you into the doctor. I was like, well, what's up? She's like, you know, you just look a little different than the rest of the kids. And so basically, she was saying I was a little bit skinny, like you could see the outline of my cheek and, you know, my rib cage and all that. So she took me in and they were basically saying that nothing was wrong with me, you know, her metabolism is high, blah, blah, blah. So month after month, she would take me because something was functioning her, you know, to take me to the hospital. And finally, God, he told her, just ask them to, you know, sample her stool because they were doing all these other tests that had nothing to do with, you know, even my digestive system. So they did that, and sure enough, the same day that they ran the test, I was in the hospital. Maybe a couple of hours after that, they told me that I had this thing called Crohn's disease. And what that is it's an immune deficiency of your digestive system. And so it would attack my nutrients and things like that from my food that I would need to grow as an infection or the bacteria, so I would not get what I needed. So I was in the hospital, and I kind of shut down from everybody, didn't want to talk to anybody. All my visitors, you know, I didn't know what to say because I was 9. You know, I was kind of like, why God, why me? So I was mad at God. And so one day she decided to give me this little care package. And in this care package, it had, you know, books to read and, you know, DVDs to watch and my DVD player in the hospital and, you know, all this other stuff. And one of the coolest things that she put in there was a notebook. And on it had a sticky note, and it said, write the things that you don't know how to say. So, you know, everything that you feel, your thoughts, you know, your prayers, your feelings, emotions, you know, write down just whatever. And at first I was, like, laughing, like, wow, like, this is kind of, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, this is a waste of my time. I don't want to talk. And eventually I humbled myself, and I was just like, you know what, I'm going to just write. If I can't talk to nobody, I'd rather write me here. I know nobody's going to see it. So I began to write just things, and it actually transitioned. I was in the hospital for 6 weeks. It transitioned from just thoughts and, you know, just random bullet points to poetry. And then from poetry to songs, literally, like in 6 weeks. And in this time, God was just showing me that he put me here just to show me, like, I was prideful in things that I did, you know what I mean? I was so caught up in how good I was and how to get better, more so reverencing God with what he gave me, even if it was just sports, you know? And so in that process, it literally transitioned from just writing to poetry, from poetry to songwriting. And that's literally, I believe, that's where God began to perfect my writing into what y'all would call rap or, you know, hip-hop, so...
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a powerful testimony there, in that how God works all things together for the good, you know, those who are called and who called according to, who loved him and called according to his purpose. And so, you know, he's developed this writing in you. He has this testimony of being diagnosed with Crohn's disease. I'm familiar with that. I've had a friend of mine when I was growing up had that. And but he transitioned to writing and then, you know, then expressing this gift. And so it kind of brings me then to more of, and specifically about these writings, about these songs. One of your particular songs is my favorite, Follow Your Dreams. How did that particular song come to be about?
Man, in the process of my writing, I had all these great beats that I had chosen to, you know, be a part of the process. And I was trying to, like, one thing that I purpose is to make sure that everything that I say is literally God-breathed and God-inspired. I don't want it to be anything about me. And so I was trying to figure out what my first topic would be to start off, you know, my project, even the first single or even the first song on the project, what I would start writing about. And so I was listening to all the beats, and this one particularly, you know, it caught my attention. So I sat down with it, and the only thing that can really come to mind is just follow your dreams. Like that's why, you know, it just kept like a chant. And I began to write about it, and I was passionate about it because it's just like not a lot of people talk about encouraging people just solely like just to go follow what's yours. You know what I mean? Just simply like it was just such a simple message, just to follow your dreams. Not a lot of people do that, you know. So I just believe that God was leading me just to encourage people, no matter what you think even about yourself or what people think about you, what, you know, is supposed to happen, you know, just follow your dreams and walk by faith and not by sight, you know. So it was just a simple message, just to follow your dreams.
Yeah, this is a very, very encouraging song. It's one of my favorites, actually. On the show, I've been playing it, starting the show, last show started it, and then, you know, finished the show as well. And you're right, people do need a lot of encouragement, because sometimes you go from day to day, you get in type of a rut, you get in, you know, day-to-day schedule things, you know. Not anything that seems maybe bad, you may be doing stuff with your family, what have you, working a job or going to school, even like doing your sports and things like that. But sometimes though, kind of lose what really our passion and our hearts are kind of geared for, what God is really, you know, calling us to. And so that song does do a lot of encouragement. Thank you for that, being obedient in that. That was off the Destined to Be Honest project, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Just tell us a little bit more about that whole project as, you know, as a whole, and bringing that all together.
To be honest, that project was released May 30th, 2015. The actual graduation day that I was walking across the stage of my graduation. I believe that God wanted me to just actually be real with my followers and my friends, my family, my friends, from my own perspective. I think sometimes we're scared to even talk about what we honestly believe. We try to sugarcoat stuff because we want it to be pleasing or easy on the ears. But I believe that God, it was perfect timing. He set that, you know, time aside for me to be able to sit down and really hear him and, you know, for lack of terms, be raw with my message, because I believe that it was time for me to do that, and even just encourage my fellow industry to do the same thing, speaking up and just being bold and honest about what you believe and the things that you see, addressing those things and have the word to back it up. So to be honest was just a project just to, like you said, to be honest about, you know, everything. So.
Wow, yeah. So, this whole project is very encouraging, and you had like others to help come on, you know, the people who helped you or mentor you in your gift. That project part of you, I know you got a current one that out too, we're gonna get to that in a moment. But so a little bit more, I know your family as well is, you know, has done the mentoring and the music. What about others that's kind of influenced you and just helped you to, first of all, know more about Jesus and then, you know to kind of be more built up in your music gifts?
Honestly, if you want me to keep it 100, I really don't have mentors in my life more than my family and my friends, definitely my friends, because so many times, if I can, you know, take the time to also be real, so many times there'll be people that will come in for a season and then another season they're gone. And so it's like I haven't actually had the opportunity to connect with someone on a personal basis to where it's like intentionally, like they're checking up on me, they're making sure I'm okay. Honestly, like counseling me, you know what I'm saying, through things. Like I never had someone to actually be there, not just for a season or for a second, but to be there my whole life. Other than my family and my friends, like they've been there not just through the good, but through the bad as well. So first and foremost, I have to say God, of course, because you know, my slogan, and not even because music isn't just my ministry; it's my platform. But in doing music, I believe that I want everything to be God-breathed and God-inspired. So God is my mentor. You know, I come to Him for counseling and getting understanding on things. My family, like I said, they are the ones who actually encourage me to go out and to pursue this thing. Once I figured out this is what God wanted me to do, they encouraged me and they told me, like, hey, try God for His word, you know, and trust in Him. And my friends, they're the ones who provoke me to righteousness. They're the ones who tell me, you know, they catch me when I'm slipping, or they say, hey, you know, what did you, you know, mean by this? Or, you know, they keep me sharp and on my toes. So my friends, my family, definitely, and most importantly, God. That's really my only mentors in my life that I've had so far. So.
Yes. And the best resources, when, you know, and some youth may not have that. Some, you know, people growing up may not have had that. Or, you know, you some people, you know, to the pastors or youth leaders or, you know, Sunday school teachers. But whoever God puts in our lives, we have to be thankful, you know, and grateful that definitely that He plants His word. He plants, you know, the word, which is His Son Jesus, into us, and everything is like He's saying, comes to Him, His counsel, and looking to Him and looking to those He's placed around us to be that encouragement and give us wisdom when we need it. That's true. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was there a time? I know you probably grew up in church, but was there a time when it was just like? Was there a specific experience you say, well, now it's time for me to really get to about my relationship with God? Or is it always that you feel like there was always you were growing closer to God? Just,
I mean, of course, as a believer, it's a walk. It's a continuous walk. And, yeah, we're going to, you know, fall off and slide because we all are falling short of the glory of God. But as far as a personal experience for me, that told me I had to get closer with God and kind of get back up with Him, I've been on like many tours in my life, but one of the most impactful ones that I've ever been on is called the Extreme Tour. I went on there, and the very first time, what we do is our schedule is we have travel days, we have hype days, and then we have the show days. And during the hype days, we'll rest up in that city the night before. That whole day we're out impacting the community and reaching out and just being intentional with the people of that city and telling them about, you know, not just about the show the next day, but about who Jesus really is and the gospel, sending the gospel. And in going and having those high days, I just would sit back and watch people be so on fire for God. And it wasn't so much that I was falling off, but I saw that there was a difference in them doing and me doing. And I was like, what is the difference? And, you know, I got the opportunity to talk to some of the participants and the artists and even the leaders that we had come with different, you know, in our section and different sections that were a part of the tour. And they were just showing me that, like what I was telling you earlier, my music isn't just my primary ministry. Like, that's my platform in preaching the gospel. The mic is a powerful thing. And the music is kind of like in writing a paper, you have like a hook sentence in your introduction. It's kind of what hooks your reader into reading the rest of the paper. And I believe that that's what my music is. It's though that quote unquote hook sentence to hook the person into what I'm talking about. Like, yo, this sounds good. Regardless of what I'm saying, they're like, wow, this is good. Who is he? And once I get their attention, then that's when I redirect them and point them into the main mission, which is spreading the gospel and showing them that this God is really real and just giving them an authentic Christian, you know. So I think that being there and participating in the exchange tour taught me what my main mission was and got me fired up about being, you know, back closer to God and figuring out what it was that I was missing. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, your writing is a walk, and so it's like you said earlier, walk by faith, not by sight, and just trusting in the Lord, and keeping the faith. Now, I spoke a little bit about, because you got a current project now, spoke a little bit about that. Can you tell us a little more about that and the purpose behind that?
So the name of the project I just released, January 1st, 2016, is called Outlasting Season. And basically, each song on that project is representing a season that we all go through as humans. I came from an unbiased perspective in that project, not just so that the believers can relate, but more so to touch the heart of the unbelievers, to understand, like, this walk is real, like, we're real humans. I think many times I have conversations with people that are unbelievers or that are believers that are kind of shaky, is they feel like once you're a diehard believer or what we say, like, a Jesus freak, like, you become this superhuman. Like, they don't see you making any mistakes and all this other stuff. And I wanted to show them that as humans, we have different seasons in our life. Whereas our fall, you know, we may be at our weakest, or winter, we might be trying to hold it together. You know what I mean? And summer, you know, we're content. Like, we're okay with where we are. You know, things can only get better. We're human beings going through this walk. We're not just, you know, I think I'm trying to put it like this. It's like, as an unbeliever looking at a believer, it's like it's hard for them to relate because I think we become unrelatable. And so with this project, I wanted to be as genuine as possible by not even, I never dumbed down the gospel, but I believe that I gave it to them in a way where it was like it was ABC, it was elementary, it wasn't this deep message that they had to go and ask another believer. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It was something where I believe that each one, a believer could take this and get, you know, nourishment, as well as an unbeliever could listen to this project and say, wow, you know what, they're walking this thing, they're human beings, like, they're not these, you know, superhumans,
super
like, they're going to make mistakes, you know, every day is a walk, you know what I mean, every day we're going to face temptation, but it's the decision that makes us different from the sinner, you know what I mean, so,
yeah.
It was just showing them each season that a human being goes through, not just a believer, but a person just goes through, a natural person goes through in life. That was the main idea for the project, is just to encourage them that we're going to go through seasons, but God made the seasons, and He controls, you know, what happens. It's all about outlasting the season, because it was like I was getting the picture of, you know, you'll go through a season. You may go through a season and you may come out the same way. That means you lasted that season. You may not even get a chance to go through the season. You're stuck in that season for maybe in that whole year because you can't pass that season. You didn't last it at all. But outlasting the season is going through a season and changing, not for the worse, but for the better. And seeing yourself going through it and going through it and being, you know, a different person. You know? So, it was... it was just the motive behind it, was to encourage people and to show them, you know, be relatable, be transparent, you know?
Yeah. And definitely, what you're saying, like, this is something that sometimes we come across as, you know, super spiritual or just not being, like you're saying, down on people's level or something like that, but truly just being relatable is something that, you know, as believers, we want to get across and to the unbeliever that, hey, you know, Bible says that we face the same temptation as those in the world, but it's through Jesus, you know, that we overcome. Yeah. And even though we're coming to a close of time, I wish we had more time, but I do just so appreciate it. I know this is so encouraging. It's encouraging to me, Sister Kay, you came on and shared with us. It's very valuable. You're valuable to us and in the body of Christ and, of course, to God. To close out, you just any couple of things, any favorite scriptures you got or, you know, how can others who listen in find out more about your music and or how to contact you?
This is going to sound cliche, but, hey, my favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's just my favorite scripture because it showed me, like, not by my will or by my might, but through him, like, I can do anything that my mind is set upon. Nothing is too big or too great for my God. It just puts that trust in him again, knowing that he is God, you know, like, there's nothing greater than him, but I serve a God, and he's not only someone that I serve, but he called me his daughter, and so he has my best interest at hand. So Philippians 4:13 is definitely one of my favorite scriptures because it just makes me assure that God has my best interest and whatever I set my mind to, I can do it, you know. You can find me on the internet. Instagram is @dkaylastarks, @dkaylastarks, no spaces. Twitter is the same thing, @dkaylastarks. Facebook is /dkaylastarks. YouTube, if you type in kaylastarks, you'll find anything that you're looking for. You can find me there. SoundCloud, if you type in kaylastarks, this will be the very first one at the top. My new project is on iTunes now. It's on Amazon for the Android users. The project, to be honest, is for free. It's on my SoundCloud page. If you go to soundcloud.com/Taylor-Starks, you'll be able to find that. Yes, sir. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And I know that all the listening audience is definitely going to, they're in for a treat. They're in for a treat that, you know, how God is, definitely he has his poets, he has his people of God out there. And we thank God for you. Thank you for being on again.
Amen. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Amen.
Amen.
Like you better earn this, boy. I ain't tryna end.